Everybody's got a story, right? What does it say, Artie?
Buttercream.
All right, got to have it back. Buttercream Fonderific. Daniel brought me my sample bag from his mother. I referred to this last week. I know some of you think, especially our guests today, which, by the way, we welcome you. Hope you'll fill out that card, and we'd love to. We promise not to show up on your door. We may send you an email. If you'd like to get our email stuff, we've got a daily devotional that is just wonderful. But anyway, you may be wondering, man, where's he headed with this today? It's a story. Because here sits Daniel and his mom and another lady. Now, if you saw him in the Georgia Business Magazine, they are now a multi-million dollar worldwide business that started with this stuff right here. Yeah, that's right. They use their stuff on one of the shows, one of those cake shows on TV, and it's a wonderful thing. But this started in her kitchen, and the only reason we got to know about that was because of a 16-year-old boy riding his bicycle around his neighborhood. And while we were having backyard Bible clubs out in Georgetown, and that boy is now 33 years old and he's sitting over here. Everybody's got a story, don't they? Hey, Corey, come up here. Come on up here, man. I know you. It's okay. It's okay. You know how much I love you. You know how much I love you. I want you to tell them you came over here and told me something just a minute ago that just lit me up. And I want you to tell them.
I woke up this morning, and when I woke up, the first thing that it's just really kind of hard to explain, but the first thing was go to church. It was like just go to church, go to church, go to church, go to. And I'd stayed with David and Lisa, and I got up this morning, I said, as soon as I saw him, I said, I've got to go. I've got to go get dressed. I've got to be at church today. There is something. Have no idea what he's going to talk about or where it was heading, but I just knew there was a feeling that said, Corey, get your behind up. Don't be lazy. Don't procrastinate and get to church. And I told Dusty, I said, I don't know what you got planned today, but I'm here for it, whatever it is.
I want y'all to hear that. Thank you.
Yeah, man, I was early. He was early, man. What? Now, let me tell you the other part of that story. As I often do, I'll change sermons, you know, a lot. Some preachers have a problem finding, you know, oh man, I just need a sermon to preach. For me, most Sundays, it's which one? Because the Lord's speaking, and you want to be sensitive to His Spirit. And He spoke to me about this yesterday in prayer that I'm going to share with you. And the first person He put on my heart about their story was you. Was you. So here's God. And I just sat over here. I mean, Corey and I, we hadn't talked about this. But you know who had talked to both of us was the Holy Spirit. So I want you to hear this message today about your story. Now one day in the near future, I'm going to get Corey to tell us his whole story, which is a great act of God's grace. It's a great move of the Lord. It's so good to see all of you here today. Greg, good to see you here, son. God bless you, serving our country. And you've got people here with you. Who stand up. Greg was with us in another life. Who are these folks with you? Welcome. I know you're proud. I know you're proud. God bless you. God bless you. Are you feeling better? We're glad you're here today. God bless you. It's been a tough road. This week, Mary Wade had a knee replacement. And she's doing well. And Peter Iannuzzi, pray for Peter today. He was in the hospital for a couple of days. Peter got beat up in front of his apartment building and broke his nose and bruised rib and all that. And so be praying. But again, part of the story. This week has been a story, hasn't it? Some of you that I've talked to have had adventures, some adventures you liked this week, but others adventures you didn't like. It's part of your story. Your story. Everybody has one. What is your story? Has God taught you anything from your past? Has He taught you anything from failure in your life? How many times did Edison fail? A lot. has he taught you through sickness? Anybody learned any lessons through sickness in your life? How about pain? All sorts of pain that has come your way. Has it moved you? Has it taught you? Is it part of the narrative of your life? As you look back and who you are today, you dig back and you find the story with people. You find what has shaped them. How about grief? Grief. Disappointment? Has your story, your life narrative has been shaped by that? Are things like you thought they would be when you were this age many years ago, as you were looking forward, could you have imagined it this way? And that's not a positive or a negative. That's just a question. Has God ever taught you anything through delay? How many times has He told you wait? Or maybe you weren't hearing His voice, but you knew that He was waiting and He wanted you to. Also, has He taught you anything through personal relationships in your life? Boy, for some of us, that was a tough, and has been, and is a tough school. What's your Jesus story? And when you think of your Jesus story, you think of one verse that comes to mind. It's the most quoted verse from the Bible. For God so loved the world that He gave His unique one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him will not perish, but will have everlasting life. The gospel in a nutshell. What's your Jesus story? How did He come to you? How were you confronted by Him? You go to the 26th chapter of Acts, and by the way, I want to encourage you to do something for me. Humor me over the next several months. I'd like for you, anybody here that doesn't own a Bible? Anybody? Be it paper or electronic that you don't have one? Okay. Well, if you need one, let me know. We'll make sure you get one before you leave here today. But I'd like for you to bring a Bible with you next week. I'd like for you to bring some kind of notebook, notepad, journal, something that you can write down the aha moment. Not to build an encyclopedia of biblical knowledge, but to write down what God speaks to you. Those aha moments. Have it there with you. Just a favor I ask. In Acts chapter 26, in verse 28 it says, "And King Agrippa said to Paul, 'Do you think that you can persuade me to become a Christian in such a short time?'" Now, Paul had been arrested. He had been in jail. I'm not going to go into a lot of detail in this story, but he had been now before Festus, a king, Felix, another one, and then Agrippa. And he's sharing his story as he's listening to their story. And in fact, he makes some comments that are a little bit insulting to them along the way, and lets them know that he knows more about them than they know about him. Because he's been paying attention to the people around him. And Agrippa asked him, "Do you think you can persuade me in such a short time to become a Christian?" You see, Agrippa, along with Festus and Felix, you know, Paul ministered to the down and outs, the up and outs, and the over and outs. He was everywhere. God was using him, and he was sharing his story. In fact, if you weren't convinced that the story is important, his testimony is recorded multiple times, and parts of it even more than that, in the Scripture, making sure that we got it. How about your story? When were you confronted by Jesus? Well, you know He came to you. He was speaking through a person. He was speaking through His Word. He was speaking through a circumstance, or He just came in prayer in a time and there was revelation of Him. And we could give a list of all the ways, you know, just scripturally, and then in this room right here, all sorts of stories that we have where Jesus came and confronted us with Himself. Second question, as we think about your Jesus story. Did you feel His love as He reached out to you? Listen to what 1 John 3:16 says. 1 John, not John 3:16. 1 John, 1 letter John 3:16 says. And we know what real love is because Christ gave up His life for us. Christ gave up His life. We know what real love is, and here it is. Christ gave up His life. The Son of God stepped down out of heaven, stepped into flesh, lived a perfect life, died on a cross for our sin, was buried. 3 days later, He arose from the dead. And then what we celebrate is Pentecost on the feast. There, we see Well, he ascended in between time, and then he sent the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. How did you feel Jesus reaching out to you in love? One of the statements we make all the time around here, and I'll make it again, that God always leads with His love. That's the tip of the spear. For whatever He is doing in your life, you can be sure that it has been dipped, it has been baptized in love. And it might sting. It might be very confrontive what he, as he comes to you and he speaks and he gets it in a language you can understand. I'll never know how women think, but I know how men think. And I know there are times that I just need it in that special man language that says, stand up and pay attention, son. I've got a message for you. No beating around the bush. But here it is. Another thing about this Jesus story. Did you realize when He spoke to you, when He came to you, however, and every one of us has a different story, and just as sure as you try to mimic someone else's story, it becomes false in that. It has to be your story. It has to be your Jesus story. It's the same Jesus that we're being drawn to, but He's dragging us from all sorts of ways of life. But it's the same message. It's the message of love and forgiveness. Did you realize He had a plan for your life? John 10:10 says, the thief's purpose is to what? To steal, kill, and destroy. But I am come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. Put that in, get a good English rendering of that. And that life would be superabundant. More than you could soak up. More than you could enjoy. It's kind of like Thanksgiving or Christmas meals that we share together, going to my mother-in-law or my mom's house. And I'm looking at the array of food and just wanting a diving board that I can just go. And someone looked at me the other day. We had gone to one of these things, and I wanted to make sure I didn't hurt anybody's feelings. So I was trying everything. They said, look at your plate. You've only got this much. And look around. I said, this isn't a sprint. Nor should it be when we think of God's plan for our lives. But what He has in store for us, it's more like a marathon, isn't it? That at every juncture, He's preparing a plan for us. It's not, you get all excited here when you first come to Jesus, and then you run out of gas. Well, see, that's the way the evil one would, and the world system would want you to think about it. But in fact, He's got a plan that lasts forever. I mean, right through the last breath that you breathe on this earth, and when you're in His presence, absent from the body, present with the Lord, He's got a plan for you. And I believe even in heaven, when you think about even spending that time with Him forever, I know we've got this idea of billowy clouds that you're sitting around, sipping on a mint julep and that kind of thing. But I can't see it that way. I think we're going to be busy glorifying Him forever. And it will be satisfying to the soul, and it will never be boring. When anybody ever tells me they've gotten bored in their relationship with the Lord, who's moved? Hey. Don't come to me and tell me that Jesus suddenly got boring. No, 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 no. You disengaged. You go back and you can see where you unhooked. Maybe you did it on installments. Maybe one railroad car at a time. Where you're saying, boy, this train's... Oh, no, where is it? He has a plan for your life, a plan for every stage in your life. Kiddos, I mean, God's speaking to you. Some of you that are wearing shoes older than these children today, He's got a plan for you too that continues forever. The Jesus story. Have you taken time to ponder all that He did for you as you think about His story in your life? In 1 Corinthians 15, 3 and 4, here we have Paul recounting, it's the resurrection chapter in the New Testament. He said, I passed on to you what was most important and what had also been passed on to me. That Christ died for our sins, just as the Scriptures say. He was buried and it was raised from the dead on the third day, as the Scriptures say. Paul was pondering. He was thinking about what Jesus had done for him. Think about it for a moment. Usually we don't do this kind of thinking unless we're at a funeral. Unless we're in a crisis, a crux point in our lives, we think, man, you know, other stuff I thought was important, it really isn't that important. Somehow getting the oil changed in my truck kind of paled into insignificance. Or that argument that I wanted to win with my family member, or worried about how much money I had. When am I going to pay off this house? All those questions pale in insignificance when you think about the real issue of life is click, dead. Click, eternity. Who's it going to be with? Is it going to be with Him or without Him? Hell, by definition, is where He has withdrawn His presence. You think about it. What happens to a nation where God withdraws His presence? You know, one of my favorite old sayings, you know, it goes to hell in a handbasket. It sure does. You go to a place, there's some places you visited this week where you walked in and you felt a coldness. Can I get a witness on that? You felt an evil. You felt an absence there. Anybody been to any place like that this week? Yes, sir. Paying attention spiritually to what is around you. And in places like that, it's where the people who had authority in those places and over those places, They distanced themselves from God and they made agreements with the evil one and with the world. And so there was a withdrawal, if you will. But just a little sampling of what an eternity without Him could be. He has a plan for your life. He has done great things for you, and we live in anticipation. I'm a history buff. That was my undergrad degree is in history. And I remember reading some of the accounts from the Middle Ages in Europe, Western Europe, where there was great suffering. And you know, when the Black Death came, when the plague came, and the cities that suffered but because of that, whole cities, as and they believe it was borne a lot by rats, other theories about that, but this plague that went, and the great suffering that was taking place. But in the midst of that, you could read about that there was always a remnant of people that looked at those circumstances, and those circumstances drove them to the Lord. You read it. You see. Have you pondered what Jesus has done for you? The reason why I say that about that story, here are people who would have everything to curse God and die about, to quote Job's wife, but who looked to something better. You look at some of the old hymns, and you'll see a hope that is threaded there. You look at Negro spirituals that were born out of the evangelism that took place amongst the slaves who had their lives controlled absolutely by this evil system. And yet, in the midst of that, you can hear the hope that is there. The hope of the good news of Jesus that was larger than that. Let me tell you, it's still larger than any evil in the world. We have hope. We live because Jesus lives in us. We have hope. So, this Jesus story that's in you, what are you going to do about it? John 1:12 says, "But as many as received Him, to those He gave the power to become the sons of God, even to those that believe on His name." What do you do about this story? Well, you look around you and you see all those that need to receive Him. Maybe you're here today and God's speaking to you for the first time in your life about your need of Jesus. Let me tell you, nobody ever comes to Jesus, realizes He's and is saved, who doesn't first realize he's lost without Him. He is Savior. Savior. About the people around you. Let me ask you this. What would happen in your family? Is anybody here that every member of your family and your extended family is a Christian? Is there anybody? Well, we've got work to do. Are there any of you here today, you are the only person that you know of for sure that is a Christian in your family? Would you raise your hand? Yeah, few. So what are you going to do about it? What are you going to do about the story? Are you going to tell the story? Tell the story of what He's done and what He's doing in your life and what He will do in a person's life. You tell them that story in faith. And you need to tell them the story, warts and all. Don't dress it up. Don't try to make Jesus better than He is. He doesn't need your help. Just tell the story. He'll take it from there. And you don't have to dress yourself down. Just tell the story. Tell your story. How God came to you. Would your workplace be different? Would your family be different? Would your friends be different? I'm not making a case today for you to get a Bible that's about 4 or 5 times the size of this one and begin to bash people over the head with it, or to stuff your pockets full of gospel tracts. You and your buddy get a tripwire at the mall, and when they fall down, do you know Jesus? No, I believe the type of witness that our world right here in good old Savannah, Georgia is looking for is authenticity. Went to see the new Madea movie. Oh man, cracks me up. And I came away with that statement, you got to keep it real. You got to keep it real. What's Jesus doing in your life right now? How's He working? You know, He comes to us initially. Revelation 3:20 pictures Jesus this way, saying, "Behold, I stand at the door and if any man hears My voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with Me." You know, that isn't just when you first get saved. He wants to continue to fellowship with you and to grow you into the person He has designed you to be. And just a word about our society right now. We've never lived through days like this before. And so the expressions of the church are most likely going to be like they have never been before. Here's the good news. Let Jesus release you into His harvest field. Because His harvest field is red and yellow, black and white. And the harvest all around you. You can't ignore Him. He will not be ignored. Just try ignoring Him. I guarantee you He can arrange it so you're going to have a meeting with Him. I guarantee it. Now, it may not be in the place of your choosing. Now he can arrange it. You can have a great, great future. We can sit around and whine all day long till the cows come home about what's wrong in the world, what's wrong in society, what's wrong in government, what's wrong in religion, what's wrong and fill in the blank. Or we can turn our hearts to the one who is right and has that in store for us. Your story has got to be told. There are people who are waiting to hear your story. And God's setting it up for you. Right now, the table is set in your life with people that are already in your life who are ready to hear your story. Here's what I ask you to do. If you can't see those people right now, ask God, take the blinders off me, Lord, and let me see the people around me. Let me see. Who knows? God may get you up early on a Sunday morning and say, go to church. Or He may take a little piece of sugar and dough and some food coloring and launch you worldwide business. Who knows? God does. Let's bow our heads. Jesus is in the business of changing lives. And you have a story to tell about how He's changed yours. But if you're here today and you have never experienced the life-changing power of Jesus, I want you to know today His love is reaching out to you right now. He desires you. He desires to come into your life and to make you a new person. Maybe you're here today and you say, you know, Dusty, I've screwed it up. I've wandered from Him. Why would Jesus want me back? I'm telling you, the same blood that saves you is the same blood that sustains you. His love is still reaching out. He wants you. He wants to put you back together again. And He wants to launch you into the world to tell your story. What is your story? What is your story about Him? How did you come to know Him? What has He done? What great things has He done in you? You need to share. People are dying to hear your story. Lord, I thank You for Your presence here right now. I thank You for the presence that we felt when we got here today. Lord, I thank You for all the people that put aside the time to join together in worshiping You, bringing praise to You, Lord Jesus. Right now, I'm asking You, Lord, come. Remind us of what great things You have done in our life. Let us not forget. Let us not forget the power of the Holy Spirit. Lord, I'm praying You'll stir up the gifts in us. Lord, I'm praying today for signs and wonders to go forth as we tell the story of Jesus. The simple story. Lord, not produced and directed by man, but the story launched from the Father's heart who sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. We bless you today, Lord. Come now. Come, Lord. Come to us today. In Jesus' name. The altar's open. You can come and pray. Lord is present here. He is with us today. Bring your prayer to Him today. Ask. We have not because we ask not. Come before Him today. Thank you. We'd like to get those cards from you as we continue to worship. Those cards, or if you have an offering to bring, there's a basket in the back, two baskets up here. You can bring them at this time. We continue to pray. If you would look this way, I want to pray for you today. How many of you just need a miracle in your life? Would you raise your hand? You got something in your life, you just need a miracle. Okay, all right. He's in the miracle working business. What was impossible with man is possible with God. Man, if He can save you from your sin and give you eternity, everything else is gravy after that. So let's come before Him. Lord, we're bringing all these things to You. Lord, we got our hands open to heaven. We're worshiping You, and at the same time, we're taking our grubby little fingers off of whatever the stuff, the situation, the circumstance, the relationship, the need, whatever it is. We're taking our hands off, and we're saying, Lord, our hands are open to heaven for You to do, to come and fill us, to come and answer this prayer, to come with reconciliation, to come with deliverance, to come with provision, to come with healing, to come with salvation. Lord, come now. Come now. We're asking You to do exceeding abundantly more than we ask or think. You are Lord over all. You are Lord Jesus. Thank You. Thank You. We make it in Your name. Amen. Now I'm going to send you out, but as I send you out, I'm going to send you through over there, because there is a mountain of blessings, and when I say that blessing, you know, what was a character on Popeye? I'd gladly pay you Tuesday for a hamburger today. Wimpy, that's right. Well, Wimpy would be in hog heaven over here. We got a mountain of hamburgers, hot dogs, a lot of sized desserts, and our feelings would be hurt. And you don't want to hurt our feelings if you didn't stay and enjoy this fellowship with us today. So ask you to come on over. I send you out now in the name of Jesus, in the power of the Holy Spirit, under the authority of Yahweh, the Father. God bless you.